Blog Talk Radio.
If you feel trapped, desperate, or alone, help is here. If you think there's no one to turn to or you can't go on, with help comes hope. Call the National Lifeline and talk with someone right now who can help. We're here day and night. The call is free. The service is completely confidential. Lifeline is a network of crisis centers nationwide. Call from anywhere in the country and you'll be connected to a trained, caring crisis worker who will listen and help you find your way back to a happier, healthier life. Lifeline is part of the National Suicide Prevention Initiative, led by the federal government's Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration. With help comes hope. So call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-TALK. That's 1-800-273-8255.
Good morning and welcome to the second half of Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. I'm your host, Joy Keys. I want to thank you so much for listening. You can call in to 646-929-0368 if you have any questions. This second half of the show, we're going to be speaking about suicide prevention. And my special guest, who I believe is on the line, I will pick up her call right now. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi. On my switchboard right now, for those who are listening, is Lydia Burnick. Yes?
Yes.
Thank you. She's the Director of Network Development for the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. It's a national network of crisis centers accessed through a series of toll-free numbers. It's funded by the Substance Abuse and National Health Services Administration. In January 2009, Lydia was nominated to serve on the Leadership 21 Committee, an effort by the, tell me how to pronounce this correct, Lydia, Bazelon?
Yep, that's right.
Or Bazelon Center for Mental Health Law, to identify and engage the next generation of leaders in the fields of mental health, public policy, and legal advocacy, and has been serving as the committee's chair since November 2009. She's a graduate of Cornell University with distinction in 2000 with a Bachelor of Science in Human Service Studies and her Master's of Health Science degree in Mental Health from Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. Thank you so much for joining the call this morning.
Thanks for having me.
I just want to let the people know that suicide is the 11th leading cause of death according to the CDC. 34,000 people a year in the U.S. are victims of suicide. And some of the risk factors involved are, one, alcohol and drug abuse, physical illness, a history of depression or other mental illness, and feeling alone, and ultimately also previous attempts of committing suicide, and this is according to the CDC. Now, Lydia, why don't you tell the audience why you started down this path,
well,
your personal story?
Yeah, my journey into suicide prevention was very much based on my personal experience having lost my older sister to suicide. I had wanted to pursue a career in mental health, and after my sister's death, I felt that I really didn't want to pursue a career as a psychologist or someone that was helping people directly, but her death obviously devastated my family and was a life-changing experience, and I felt very committed to wanting to do something to help others like her that were struggling. And so I decided to pursue a career in mental health, but from a public health perspective. So that's what led me into this work and working for the Lifeline now for the past 4 years and really enjoying that.
Now, do you really, think that this is a public health issue? Why do you think it's a public health issue, not just like some small, minor thing?
Right.
Please explain to audience why.
Yeah,
think
about just the numbers. You know, as you stated, 34,000 people in 2007 died by suicide, 11th leading cause of death. And what most people don't realize is, in the U.S., suicides outnumber homicides. I mean, you think about all the prevention efforts that go into homicides. Suicides also outnumber HIV and AIDS deaths in the United States, almost double.
Mm.
And obviously, we think of HIV and AIDS as public health problems. Suicide's the same. It's just, it's such a complex issue, and it's not a disease. Obviously, it's an outcome, and it's driven by so many factors that sometimes people don't think of it as a public health problem, but it is, and most importantly, it's preventable. There are a lot of things that can be done to prevent suicide, not only most importantly, I think, encouraging people to reach out for help and call, for example, the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline when they're feeling overwhelmed and struggling. There's obviously, as you mentioned, the risk factors for suicide, mental illness, and substance abuse problems play a large role. Unfortunately, there's still a lot of stigma around those issues, and there are a lot of people who are struggling that are not getting treatment. And those are key steps in preventing suicide.
Now, one of the things I also learned is that men are 4 times as likely as females to commit suicide, but women attempt suicide more often. Do you find, have you found that in your research?
I mean, that's just the fact. Those are the statistics. A lot of it is as a result of the choice of methods. So men are more likely to choose more lethal means, for example, guns. And women are more likely to take an overdose, which is a less lethal method.
One of the big crazy things I just learned.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
No,
go ahead.
Women also suffer from depression at double the rate than men, although there is a question about whether that's actually true or just women are more likely to reach out for help and get treatment.
Yeah, that's something, because a lot of guys can be sad or worse, which depression is a little different than just being sad or melancholy, but they don't reach out for help. In general, men don't reach out for help because they're taught, well, I can take care of myself, I'm the provider, you know, I have to be strong, don't cry, buck it up, you know, all those things. And whereas women, you know, we are, you know, socialized, be in touch with our emotions and chat with our friends and, you know, cry on somebody's shoulder and things of that nature, whereas men are not. And even in terms of health issues, I've had shows on prostate cancer and other, and they just don't go to get help. They don't go to get screening. But a lot of that is fear. The fear, like you mentioned, about the stigma around certain issues where you don't want to seem weak. I'm just having a little pain here or there and pushing it aside. And if you're a man and you're listening, please don't push this type of thing aside. If you are having these thoughts, their number is 1-800-273-TALK. Again, 1-800-273-TALK, and they can connect you with someone on the Lifeline. Now, one of the really scary things for me and studying up for the show was that Native Americans, suicide is the second leading cause of death for Native Americans.
Yeah, especially American Indian and Alaskan Native youth have very, very high rates of suicide, and that's been the case for quite some time. And there's a lot of concern about why that is. Obviously, there are a lot of risk factors in the, you know, in that community in terms of substance abuse particularly, and other risk factors such as, you know, a lot of loss, job financial loss. Clusters also are an issue. So, you know, in closed communities where there are many, one suicide after another, that can cause contagion, and young people especially are very vulnerable to that. And there have been several instances of clusters on American Indian tribal communities and reservations, and that's obviously a challenge.
Now, you were saying it's preventable. So in those communities, I mean, second leading cause of death for the youth, what can they do? What are the steps that they can take as a parent, as a maybe a religious leader, a community leader? What can you do to help prevent that?
Well, I mean, I think that there are a lot of different steps that need to be taken on many different levels. I mean, from an individual perspective, I think it's important for the general public to be aware of the general warning signs of suicide. So if you hear someone talking about wanting to end their life or feeling hopeless, seeing someone withdrawing, not acting as themselves, increasing their alcohol or drug use, you know, displaying dramatic mood changes, those are the kinds of things that you don't want to just step back and you know, not do anything. It's important to intervene, and it's important to you know, if you see those things and you see someone struggling, to point it out and say, you know, I'm concerned about you. Are you thinking about hurting yourself? Are you thinking about taking your life? People are very, very anxious to have that conversation, and so I think they end up avoiding the topic a lot, and in part because they fear that if they approach the issue with someone, like, they're going to increase the risk or they're going to bring the idea to that person. There have been many studies done on this, and that's not the case. In fact, it's the opposite. When you give someone an outlet to actually have a conversation, it's a huge relief to the person. And so on a personal level, I think it's all, you know, each of our jobs as humans living in this society and caring about our fellow man, to be aware of these issues and to know that it's okay to talk about it. We're actually on the last day of National Suicide Prevention Week, so this is a great opportunity to talk about this issue. So on an individual level, obviously getting informed. From a community level, obviously ensuring that there are there's access to treatment, substance abuse and mental health services available and accessible to the community is important. And another factor is obviously around access to lethal means. It's an often overlooked aspect of suicide prevention, but it's important to recognize that suicide can be very impulsive at times, and a very effective means of preventing it is to ensure that people who are at risk
don't have,
access
to firearms,
guns, for example, or, bridge barriers, also a very effective means of preventing suicide. So that's another component. And then in general, just, you want to also encourage help-seeking behavior and positive behaviors, problem-solving skills, those kinds of, positive protective factors that we want to, ingrain in our children to teach them if they have a problem to reach out, to problem solve and not be, lose their temper or be violent. Those kinds of things all have positive effects and can help prevent suicide in the long term.
I want to read a bit of an article from the New York Times. This is in July 2010 this year, taking calls from veterans on the brink. Melanie Foreman swiveled in her chair and punched a button on the phone. The caller, an Iraq war veteran in his 30s, had recently broken up with his girlfriend and was watching a movie, Body of War, that was triggering bad memories. He started to cry. He had a 12-gauge shotgun nearby. Could someone please come and take it away, he asked. Ms. Foreman, 54, gently coaxed the man into unloading the weapon. As a coworker called the police, she stayed on the line talking to him about his girlfriend, his work, the war. Suddenly there were sirens. I unloaded the gun, she heard him shout, and then he hung up. He was taken to the hospital, she later learned. Now, you guys get calls from veterans, yes?
Actually, the Lifeline has a partnership and a relationship with the Department of Veterans Affairs by which essentially the Department of Veterans Affairs decided not to start a separate toll-free number but to add a press 1 option to the Lifeline. So when you call the Lifeline, you hear a greeting message, and there's an option if you're a veteran or active service member or you're concerned about one, you can press 1, and then you're seamlessly connected with the Veteran Suicide Prevention Hotline that's operated out of a VA medical center. And that's what that article was about. So it's one of the centers that answers calls to the Lifeline specifically for veterans.
Well, that's a very serious issue. And today, earlier on my first half for of Saturday Mornings with Joy Keyes, I just paused for a moment for the people that we lost at 9/11. But also, we have to still be aware that even though we pulled out of Iraq, so to speak, there are still people there that can be harmed. There are soldiers all over the globe representing the U.S., and that when they come back home, they are suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder and just lots of other issues just trying to get back into society. So if you know of a veteran who is just coming back, or you see them exhibiting certain behaviors, please give them the 1-800 to the Suicide Prevention Lifeline. Again, it's 1-800-273-TALK, and that's 273-8255. That they can reach out, and there are clinics all across the United States. On the Suicide Prevention Lifeline's website, you can find out about Crisis Center. They have a Crisis Center locator. You can just plug in your zip code and find out where there's a center near you, and also I'm sure you can call the number, and they can talk to you right away about a place in your area. Now, in terms of getting involved, how would somebody be a volunteer? Can somebody be a volunteer on the line?
Yeah, I mean, the Lifeline is actually a network of crisis centers. Right now we have 147 crisis centers in 49 states. And many of these crisis centers do operate with volunteers. What you mentioned on the website, the crisis center locator, that would allow you to find what the closest crisis center to you is in your area. And we provide a business number there so that you can call, not the crisis line, and ask if they are looking for volunteers. Many of them do and have opportunities and have training programs. They'll teach you how to do it. And it's obviously a very fulfilling volunteer opportunity. You could really make a difference for people.
Now, one of the other issues that we may not be aware of, we have a huge number of senior citizens in the United States, a growing senior population. And that is also a population that deals with suicide. Do you get a lot of calls from people based on the CDC over 75 who are dealing with the issue of suicide?
Well, it's true that the rates of suicide are very high amongst older adults. Unfortunately, you know, the data that we've seen is they're not the highest calling population. So, in terms of calls received by the Lifeline, there are older adults that call, but less so than other age groups. And, I think that's also what you talked about, being self-sufficient, taking care of yourself. I think it affects older adults as well, especially because, nowadays I think there's more understanding and awareness around mental health issues and those sorts of things. Older adults weren't socialized that way, and there's less understanding about what depression and mental health is and mental illness is, and they're less likely to identify themselves as, having depression or struggling in that way. So I think that also is a barrier to help-seeking behavior.
Now, when somebody's deciding to commit suicide, do you consider that a mental health issue in terms of they're crazy? Because that might be the fear that, well, I don't want to be thought of as crazy if I start telling people I'm thinking about killing myself. But that may not necessarily be the case, correct?
I mean, the data suggests that about 90% of people who die by suicide have a substance abuse or mental health issue. But if you look at, the numbers, the data also shows us that 20% of people in the U.S., for example, have some kind of mental health problem. That's a lot of people. And obviously we know that if 20% of people have a mental health issue, not 20% of people are dying by suicide, right? It's much, much less. So the reality is that suicide is a very complicated outcome. So certainly having a substance abuse or mental health issue is a significant risk factor, but that by no means means that you're going to die by suicide. Unfortunately, there isn't a straight A to B, like this leads to that. So if you're depressed,
yeah,
then this, it's much more complicated than that. And certainly, I think that the important thing to acknowledge is that a lot of people at certain times in their life feel down and feel out and start thinking about suicide. But it's important to note that there is help available and that you don't have to struggle alone with those feelings. You're not alone in that. Many people go through very dark periods in their lives where they start thinking about those things, but you don't have to keep it to yourself. You can get help, and you can see a better, get to a better place. And that's really what the Lifeline's about, ensuring that people have a number that they can call anytime, any day, and speak with someone who's going to listen and help you and connect you with services in your area so that you can get the help that you need.
Again, I just want to mention the 1-800 number for people who are just tuning in. This is the second half of Saturday Mornings with Joy Keefe, and the Suicide Prevention Lifeline number is 1-800-273-TALK. Again, that's 1-800-273-8255. If you have a question for Lydia this morning and you're on the line, I do see we have some callers on the line, people in the chat room, you can call me here at 646-929-0368. Press the number 1, and that will let me know you're interested in asking a question. Now, what are some specific steps? So, okay, I'm sitting in my house and I'm thinking about committing suicide. What's the first thing? Should I call you? Should I go outside? Should I call my friend? Should I call my mom? I mean, what would be the first step, Lydia, that you think I should take?
I mean, I think that obviously there are multiple options. You can call a friend or a family member if you feel like you have someone in your, that's close to you that you feel comfortable and safe talking with. That's certainly an option. But the reality is that, if you call the Lifeline, you're going to speak to someone that's trained and has experience helping people when they're in this sort of situation. They can not only talk you through the moment, but they can connect you to services. And that's a key component of, preventing suicide and what a crisis center does is not only just help you in the moment, but connect you to help in your area. And so that's, it's a longer-term solution than just the immediate moment of crisis.
Well, one of the things I saw in your newsroom, you had the 2 millionth call on the Lifeline. This was in June. This is in your press room. The National Suicide Prevention Lifeline Network of 147 crisis centers answered its 2 millionth call. Wow, 2 million. I mean, that's how many people are calling you. Two million people have called.
Yeah, I mean, Lifeline call volume has been increasing over time, and right now we're averaging over about 60,000 calls answered per month.
A month.
So, and another thing that's important to note, especially I think for your, you know, for your listeners and a lot of people who are online, for veterans, there's not only an option to access the hotline via telephone, but there's an option to do live chat with a veterans hotline counselor on our website, suicidepreventionlifeline.org. There's a veterans tab. You can access the chat also available 24/7. It's just for veterans, but they can help you immediately via chat if you're more comfortable talking to someone that way as opposed to calling in.
Oh, that's great. Again, I want to mention some of the warning signs. I mentioned it earlier, but if you're just tuning in, I'm speaking with Lydia Burnick. She's working with the Suicide Prevention Lifeline. Some of the warning signs for suicide, if you want to just reflect on yourself or someone around you, threatening to hurt or kill oneself or talking about wanting to hurt or kill oneself, looking for ways to kill oneself by seeking access to firearms, pills, or other means. Talking or writing about death, dying, or suicide when these actions are out of the ordinary for the person. Feelings of hopelessness, feelings of rage and uncontrolled anger. That's an important issue right there. People don't realize that sometimes anger, actually I think all the time, and you could reinforce this, anger is another side of the coin of people being sad sometimes.
Absolutely, especially for men, it comes out that way oftentimes. So people might see someone being violent or aggressive, and they don't understand that that could be a manifestation of a severe depression that's just coming out that way.
So that's, people take that the wrong way. I remember I was watching Dr. Phil, and please don't laugh in the audience. I have watched Dr. Phil, but they had a couple in there, and the guy was dealing with the illness, and he was very angry, and he was taking it out on his wife. But he was very sad, and he was also very afraid. That was the other flip side of the anger, is that he was presenting the anger because it was safe. He could be macho. He could, he was in control. But instead of coming to his wife or someone close to him and saying, I'm really scared about what's going on with me. I'm very sad about what's going on with me. But that goes back to a lot of times men not even knowing how to process their emotions sometimes, don't even know how to identify what is actually going on with myself. For women, as we mentioned earlier, they are, I think, more socialized. I mean, would you agree, Lydia, that to talk about emotions and feelings and knowing what is going on with them?
Absolutely, absolutely. I think that's a real barrier for men getting help. There's just that sort of culture and expectation that, men are macho and tough and they can take care of things on their own. They don't talk about their feelings. And, it's just not helpful, and it's not true. Men can talk about their feelings. They should. It's good for all of us. The women that are in the relationships with those men and the men themselves. It's important to reinforce that. And, for women that may be in a relationship with someone that they're concerned about, it's also, an option to call the Lifeline if you have someone that you're worried about and you want some advice maybe about how to help that person. That's something to keep in mind as well.
Well, on your website also, for people who, like you said, who are interacting with someone who might be thinking about attempting suicide, some of your tips on your website are be direct, talk openly and matter-of-factly about the suicide, be willing to listen, allow that person to express their feelings and accept those feelings, be non-judgmental, don't debate whether suicide is right or wrong, try to get involved and show interest and support, don't dare the person to do it, don't act shocked, this may put a distance between you and the person, don't be sworn to secrecy. That's a tough thing because somebody is coming to you in the sense of secrecy, like, look, man, don't tell anybody, but I've been thinking about doing such and such. They don't necessarily want you to go and tell everybody, but, if you really think the person's going to do it, I think one of the things you can do is reach out to the Lifeline here, 1-800-273-TALK, or someone close, maybe a family member or a religious leader in your mosque, in your synagogue, in your church, your temple, wherever, and to try to connect this person so they don't feel isolated. I think that's another issue. Sometimes people feel isolated, and Lydia mentioned she's getting 60,000 calls a month.
Mm-hmm.
60,000 people are reaching out. So there's 60,000 people a month who are having thoughts of suicide, and they know someone who's thinking about committing suicide. So you're definitely not alone if you are listening to this show and you're thinking, wow, I'm the only one. I don't know anybody else. You may not know anybody else who has actually succeeded in the suicide, but they might have thought about it. And there's 60,000 other people who are also dealing with this issue. So please reach out to them. And we have women who are veterans also. So please, if you're a woman veteran, I know in terms of the services, you also probably socialize to, you know, keep your feelings in check. But they have a chat access on the Lifeline web page that you can go to if you don't want to call. Or you can call, and again, the number is 1-800-273-TALK. So please reach out to Lydia's organization. Now, what do you have any conferences or anything going on coming up in the next year or so?
No, not that we host. There is, one of the major suicide prevention conferences that happens every year is hosted by the American Association of Suicidology, and that'll be in April in Portland, Oregon. So coming up in
okay.
April.
Are you going to be going
yes,
there yourself?
We will,
or
yes,
represent?
Well, I'll be there, and from my organization. And it's if you're interested in learning more about suicide and suicide prevention, it's a big, big conference, and most of the suicide prevention organizations in the U.S. attend. It's very, very informative. So definitely, if you're interested, look that up.
Now, what is your specialty? You were talking about public health, but what do you focus on in terms of? Are you doing special research? In terms of youth, in terms of seniors, in terms of veterans, what do you like to focus on, Lydia?
Personally, I do, administration work mostly for the Lifeline. So my focus is really ensuring that there are enough crisis centers in our network to answer the calls. We really want
mm-hmm.
calls to be answered locally. So I do a lot of tracking of call volume, seeing where calls are coming in from and where they're being answered, and then recruiting centers in those areas, oftentimes having to work with the commissioners of mental health in those respective states to sign on centers. And that's really my area of focus.
Well, I want to mention the website again, suicidepreventionlifeline.org, suicidepreventionlifeline.org, and the number is 1-800-273-TALK. And if you're a veteran, when you call in, you can press the number 1. And when they press the number 1, do they get connected to a specialist who has dealt with veterans? Is that what that means?
Right. It's actually seamlessly connected to the Veterans Suicide Prevention Hotline that's operated by the Veterans Administration. And many of the counselors who answer the line are also veterans themselves.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you so much, Lydia, for coming on the show this morning. And for those of you who just tuned in, I was speaking with Lydia Burnick. She's the Director of Network Development for the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. And their number is 1-800-273-TALK. Thank you so much, Lydia, for coming on this morning.
Thank you for having me. Have a great day.
You have a wonderful Saturday, okay?
Okay. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you, everyone, for listening this morning. You can follow me on twitter.com/joykeys, or you can become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. Tuesday night, it's not a Saturday, but Tuesday night at 7 p.m., I will have a special guest, Ayan Hirsi Ali. She was born in Somalia and raised as a devout Muslim. In 1992, Ayan Hirsi was married off by her father in a ceremony and refused to attend. If you want to learn more about her, she's written the book Infidel. It tells us the stirring story of her search for a new life. She tries to reconcile her Islamic past. She also has a newer book out called Nomad, gives us an inside view of her battle for equality. And she fights a lot for women and children's rights. She has a lot of controversy. She's had death threats. She tried to make a movie, and her director was killed. So tune in Tuesday night, September 14th at 7 p.m. I'll be speaking with Ayan Hirsi Ali. And I hope you can make that. 646-929 is the call-in number. Again, you can follow me on twitter.com/joykeys, or you can become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. If you have any questions or concerns, you can email me at saturdayswithjoykeys@hotmail.com. That's saturdayswithjoykeys@hotmail.com. Hope you have a wonderful Saturday and a great week. Thank you so much for listening.
If you feel trapped, desperate, or alone, help is here. If you think there's no one to turn to or you can't go on, with help comes hope. Call the National Lifeline and talk with someone right now who can help. We're here day and night. The call is free. The service is completely confidential. Lifeline is a network of crisis centers nationwide. Call from anywhere in the country and you'll be connected to a trained, caring crisis worker who will listen and help you find your way back to a happier, healthier life. Lifeline is part of the National Suicide Prevention Initiative, led by the federal government's Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration. With help comes hope. So call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-TALK. That's 1-800-273-8255.